بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد continue reading in باب القراءة في الصلاة the chapter with regards to the recitation during the prayer. And the author, he mentioned several narrations, and we continue reading. He says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ الْبَرَاءِ بْنِ عَازِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ فِي سَفَرٍ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ فِي سَفَرٍ فَصَلَّى الْعِشَاءَ الْآخِرَةَ فَقَرَأَ فِي إِحْدَى الرَّكَعَتَيْنِ بِالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ That he mentioned, فَمَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدًا أَحْسَنَ سَوْتًا أَوْ قِرَاءَةً مِنْهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The author, he mentioned, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, the narration of Al-Bara' ibn عَازِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا Al-Bara' ibn عَازِب Al-Awsi, Al-Ansari Him and his father, both of them, they are from the Ansar and they're from the tribe of Al-Aws and they are both from the noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and it is mentioned that Al-Bara' radiyallahu anhu he witnessed the battle of Uhud and the battles after that all of them from the battle of Uhud and to the rest of the battles along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his excursions he witnessed all of them and it's mentioned that he did not attend the battle of Badr because of his young age and al-Bara' he mentioned about himself radiyallahu anhuma kuntu ana wa ibn umar lidatan me and ibn umar we were lida meaning that they were born on the same day him and abdullah ibn umar radiyallahu anhum jami'an they were born on the same day so at this time they were too young And he's mentioning this, and he was too young to attend the battle of Badr, but he attended Uhud, radiyallahu anhu, and the battles after that. And he mentioned about himself, غَزَوْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ غَزْوَةً That I attended along with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 15 battles. 15 battles. And in the end of his life, Al-Bara' ibn Azib, radiyallahu anhuma, he moved to Al-Kufa. He moved to Al-Kufa and he died there in the year 72 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here he's narrating, radiyallahu anhu al-Bara' that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a travel, on one of his journeys. And he says, فَصَلَّى الْعِشَاءَ الْآخِرَةَ And he prayed the last Isha. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Isha al-Akhirah. It's known that al-Isha, Isha'ani, there's two Isha, yani that they were considered. The people of knowledge and the Sahaba and the likes, they were considered Maghrib al-Isha al-Ula. And al-Isha that we know today, the last prayer in the evening, al-Isha al-Akhirah. Al-Isha al-Akhirah. So we have al-Isha al-Ula, which is al-Maghrib, Salat al-Maghrib. And we have al-Isha al-Akhirah. The last Isha, which is Salat al-Isha, that we know today. So he's mentioning here that he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they're traveling, al-Isha al-Akhirah, any of the Isha prayer. And in some of the wordings it's mentioned, فَصَلَّى al-Isha rakatayni, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed this prayer two rak'ah. And this is the sunnah of the traveler, that he will lighten the prayer in its amount, and meaning that the prayers that consist of four rak'ah, then they will be lightened to two. And this is something established here. But the point of the narration in this chapter for the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is the next portion. فَقَرَأَ فِي إِحْدَى الرَّكَتَيْنِ So he recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the two rak'ah. And one of the two rak'ah be وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ With the chapter, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ yani meaning this surah here. Which is known today as Surah At-Teen. And Allah, He swears by a number of things in this chapter. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning here, Wat-Teen, swearing by the teen, which is the fig, Was Zaytun, which is the olive, This wow here is for swearing. What tini was zaytun? And it's one of the shorter chapters from Qisar al-Mufassal, from the shorter chapters of the end portion of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited this here in one of these two rak'ah. And Sunan al-Nisa'i has come mentioned that it's in al-Ula, rak'ah al-Ula, and the first rak'ah that he recited this short surah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Isha prayer while he's traveling. And then he mentioned radiallahu anhu, فَمَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدًا أَحْسَنَ سَوْتًا أَوْ قِرَاءَةً مِنْهُ. And I never heard anyone have a more beautiful voice or recitation than him. I never heard anyone. He said, I never heard anyone radiallahu anhu have a better voice, a more beautiful and nice voice and recitation than him sallallahu alayhi wasallama. So we see that in this narration there are a number of benefits, and particularly with this chapter, we see that it is legislated to recite out loud in Salat al-Isha, that the two rak'ah, the first two, they are out loud. And this is from the evidences of that, because he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recite them. So this is an indication and establishment of this sunnah, that from the sunnah of the Isha prayer is to recite audibly in the first two rak'ah. And we have seen likewise as well, the narration before this was the narration of Jubair ibn Mut'im, and also it was clarified that also the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Maghrib, Salat al-Maghrib, also at Isha al-Ula, to recite out loud in the first two rak'ah. So these narrations here, they clarify that, and this is the evidence for this. This is something that alhamdulillah, the Muslims, they know and they apply, and it's well known in the lands, but these are the proofs for that. This is the evidence for that. And this is something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did, and it was narrated from his sunnah. And it's narrated from his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the first issue. Likewise, we see that he recited audibly sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from this portion of the Quran, and a very short portion of the Quran, and one of the shorter surahs. And what has proceeded is from the normal methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Isha prayer, is to recite from the Awsat al-Mufassal, Awsat al-Mufassal, which is from where to where? Remember the Mufassal, the portion of the Quran, the people of knowledge, they call it al-Mufassal, which is the last portion of the Quran. Where does it begin from? From Qaf, from Surah Qaf. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned from Al-Hujurat, or from Qaf. Many of the people of knowledge mentioned from Qaf. Allah knows best. There's some narrations also, they clarify that it's also, that it is from Al-Hujurat. But in any case, either Al-Hujurat, which is right before Qaf. And Al-Hujurat is 49 and Qaf is 50. So in any case, we'll say what many of the scholars, they say from Qaf. From Qaf all the way to An-Nas. This portion of the Quran is called Al-Mufassal. Al-Mufassal. Al-Mufassal, that which has been divided. That which has been divided. It has any fusul. It has divisions. And this is because it's divided by the basmala. You will find many divisions, many fusul. When many, the recitation will continue and then it will stop and it will have the basmala. It will go and it will stop and have the basmala like this. So the chapters, there are many chapters in this last portion. They're all divided into portions by the al-basmala, by al-basmala. So for this reason, it's called al-mufassal, al-mufassal. So from Qaf or al-hujarat to al-nas, this is that portion of the Quran. We have seen that it's also divided into three parts, and that is tiwal al-mufassal, and awsat al-mufassal, and qisar al-mufassal. This is where we're at now, but maybe we should review. Where is the tiwan? Of course, from either al-hujurat or qaf to amma yatasa'alun. Naam, ahsan, surah al-naba, surah al-naba. And from there until al-duha, surah al-duha. This is the awsat. This is the awsat, the middle chapters, the middle chapters. And the qisar is from al-duha to an-nas. To An-Nas. This is one of the positions of the people of knowledge. Many of them have mentioned this. There are other positions likewise. But this is the case. So the longer ones from Qaf to An-Naba. These are the longer portions of this portion of the Quran, the longer chapters of Al-Mufassal. And then from An-Naba to Wad-Duha, Surah Al-Duha. This is the medium portion where the most of the chapters are not longer, not as long as those before it, but they're longer than those that come after. They're moderate in length compared to the rest of them in this portion. And as for from Al-Duha to An-Nas, then the majority of them are shorter than that. So here in the narration we have now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's traveling and he's praying Salat al-Isha and he's reciting from Al-Qisar, Qisar al-Mufassal. And normally sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see in the narrations to come likewise, normally in the Isha he would recite from the Awsat, Al-Awsat min al-Mufassal. He would recite from the moderate portions, In the Fajr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, normally he would recite from Al-Tiwan. And Dhuhr and Asr, he would recite from Al-Awsat, normally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Maghrib, he would recite from Al-Qisar. And from Isha, also Al-Awsat. So then we have in the two end of the days, in the first part of the day, we have from Diwal, the longer portions. And at the end of the day, in the Maghrib time, we have the shorter portions. And then the rest of the days, the rest of the salawat in the daytime, he would recite sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the nighttime, any in that period, from the middle portions. And this is something that he did normally, or most of the time, although it has come contrary to that also in the sunnah to clarify the permissibility. And it has come that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited from the Qisar in Fajr. And it's been narrated that he recited from the Tiwal in Al-Maghrib. And the Hadith of Jubair, he recited at Tur sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also it has come even from another portion, or from the longer, or the longest of the chapters of the Quran. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited Surah Al-A'raf in Al-Maghrib. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned in two rak'ah. He divided it. But this is a very long chapter compared to the normal recitation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to clarify yani the permissibility, and that this is the sunnah for the imam to follow. That the majority of the time it would be from Al-Mufassal, and sometimes it would be even longer than that. And the majority of the time it would be in this manner, and sometimes he would change likewise and lengthen the Maghrib or shorten the Fajr, and so on and so forth. But here the issue is, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is in Al-Isha, and normally in Al-Isha he would pray from Salat Al-Isha he would recite from Al-Awsat, which is from An-Naba to Al-Duha. He would recite from the middle, the chapters that are a little bit longer, from the middle portion of Al-Mufassal. But here's reciting from Al-Qisar. And also we notice that he says, Kana fi safarin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was in a travel. So this is an indication that just as the amount of the prayer is lightened during the traveling, also the recitation is lightened as well, the manner that it's performed. So the kamiya, yani fi salat al-musafir, the kamiya is light, the amount is lightened. The amount that one has to pray is lightened. And likewise, the manner that one prays, the kayfiyya as well. The kayfiyya, and that's the point here to clarify. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, normally he would recite a longer portion in Al-Isha. But here he recited the shorter portion. This is because he's traveling. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so therefore it's from the sunnah of the traveler, not only to shorten the prayer, like the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Isha, but also to lighten the prayer by shortening the recitation and the standing, and to make the prayer lighter. This is because the one who is in travel, that the one who is on a journey or traveling, he is in need for his affairs to be lightened for him. And he has many responsibilities and likewise hardships and difficulties that he's facing. So therefore the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislation of Ar-Rahman, tabaraka wa ta'ala, is mercy. and from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal for His slaves is that He observes their situations and their life and the different circumstances that they may be in, and that their affairs will be lightened for them in times of difficulty and hardship. And this is from the beauty of Al-Islam and from the mercy of Ar-Rahman Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So therefore the believer, whenever he's traveling, is from the sunnah to lighten the recitation, even if normally it would be longer. To lighten the recitation, even normally if it would be longer. So this is a benefit from here. So the kamiyah is shortened, is lightened, the kamiyah, meaning the number. And likewise the kayfiyah. And likewise the kayfiyah, for the prayer of the musafir. The kayfiyah meaning the manner that is performed. The kamiyah meaning the amount that is performed. Both of them are lightened. And this is from the mercy of Ar-Rahman Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for his believing slaves and the ease in his deen, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusr, wa la yuridu bikum al-usr. So this is from the examples of that. Also from the benefits of this narration, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the clarification of the beautiful voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his beautiful recitation, and that he would beautify his voice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the recitation, and he would beautify the recitation with his voice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise the manner of the recitation. So he says here, فَمَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدٍ أَحْسَنَ سَوْتًا أَوْ قِرَاءَةً مِنْهُ. I never heard anyone have a better voice or a recitation than him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned the oh here is for the is because the narrator, he doubted whether he said, whether Bara radiallahu anhu, he said this one or that one. He either said one or the other. But others from the people of knowledge, they mentioned that rather both of them were intended. That he never heard anyone have a better voice nor a better recitation than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the voice, the beautiful voice, it goes back to the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah, He blessed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have a beautiful voice, to have a crisp and a clear and a nice voice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a favor for those who recite the Quran. And some they have beautiful voices, and others they have lesser than that. And this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. But in any case, a believer, he will beautify the Quran with his voice. And if he's gifted and blessed with a beautiful voice, this is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he had the most beautiful voice and he had the best voice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أو قِرَاءَةً, and meaning I never heard anybody have the best, a better recitation likewise. This is with regards to the performance of the recitation. The manner that he would recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his voice was beautiful and likewise his recitation was beautiful. We understand the difference between the two. We have somebody, maybe he has a beautiful voice but his recitation is no good. We have others, maybe he doesn't have a beautiful voice but his recitation is proper and very well. We understand that. As for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had both of them. This is what he's saying, فَمَا سَمِعْتُ أَحَدًا أَحْسَنَ سَوْتًا مِنْهُ أَوْ قِرَاءَةً مِنْهُ أَوْ قِرَاءَةً مِنْهُ. So we see from here that it's recommended likewise to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this affair, and that is to beautify one's voice whenever he recites the Quran. يعني تحسين الصوت عند تلاوة كتاب الله عز وجل. That a believer, he will beautify his voice and he will learn how to recite the Quran properly and give attention for this and care and concern for this, learning how to recite it properly and in a good manner and the correct way. And it has been narrated by Abi Musa radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. This is in Sunan al-Nasa'i. That he's not from us and he's not upon our path, he's not upon our sunnah properly. The one who does not يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ, the one who does not beautify his voice in the recitation of the Qur'an. And this is something that is known. And also Bara' radiallahu anhu, he also narrated another narration in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani about this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَزَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَسْوَاتِكُمْ وَزَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَسْوَاتِكُمْ, and beautify the Qur'an with your voices. And beautify the Qur'an with your voices. This is found in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala. And beautify the Qur'an with your voices. Some people, they have misunderstood this and they will use the musical, the knowledge of music and musical notes and the lights to recite the Qur'an. And they will learn the pitches and the different rules or the different rules and regulations, the qawaneen of music in order to apply them to recite the Quran, and this is incorrect, and this is not what is intended here. What is intended here to beautify the Quran with one's voice, that means to learn the recitation of the Quran and the tajweed. And the tajweed has come to us, alhamdulillah, with chain. Likewise, the manner and the mode of recitation and how it should be recited. And this means that a believer, he will give much concern to learning the huruf and how to pronounce them. To learning the letters, makharij al-huruf. This is very important. To learn the makharij al-huruf. The Arabic letters, they have points of articulation that they proceed from. In order to recite the Quran properly, a believer, he will have to learn these points of articulation and strive to pronounce every word from its proper spot, the best he can, without going to extremes, without takalluf, without going to extremes. Some of the words may be hard for some of us in these lands, but a believer, he can strive to learn them to the best of his ability. And with sincerity and with effort, then it will become easy, inshallah. It will become easy, inshallah. So to beautify one's voice, or to beautify the Quran with one's voice, and to beautify the recitation, this means to learn these rules. First and foremost, makharij al-huruf, also sifat al-huruf. The Arabic letters, they have a point of articulation they proceed from in the mouth, where they start from, where one who pronounced them from, when he begins to pronounce them. And likewise, these letters, they have descriptions and characteristics. They have descriptions and characteristics. Maybe there are some letters that have a similar makhraj, or the same place that they come from, but they're described differently. They have different attributes, and therefore they sound different, like the sin and the sad, and other letters like this. And some of them, they have the same place where they will come from, but their description is different. So a believer, he should learn how to pronounce them properly, and how to bring each one according to his ability. And likewise, learning the mudud and the elongations. This is also from beautifying the Quran with one's voice. And other people, they have went to extremes with this likewise. And they put the elongations where they do not belong. And this is dangerous, and it could change the meaning. Or very little, it's not from the Quran. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he was asked about this affair, about that which is disliked in the talheen, or the tamtit, and elongating the words of the Quran in the wrong place. And he's like, what is your name? He said, my name is Muhammad. He said, would you like somebody to come to you and say, Ya Muhammadu, like that. His name is Muhammad. So if somebody put a big elongation on the end of it, it doesn't even belong there. Muhammadu, like that. Would somebody like to be called like that? Muhammadu, his name is not Muhammadu, his name is Muhammad. So to put an elongation in a place where it's not required, this is incorrect and this is wrong. And a person, he would not like that for himself, to be called by other than his name in the manner that it's pronounced. So how about the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? So therefore, a believer, he will not put elongations except where they belong. And the elongations, they have rulings likewise. Sometimes they're 2 counts, sometimes they're 4 counts, sometimes they're 6 counts, and so on and so forth. So a believer, he will learn these. In this manner, he can beautify his voice. He can beautify the Quran with his voice. And if he has a beautiful voice on top of that, likewise, then this is khayr upon khayr and light upon light, alhamdulillah. But at least he will recite it in the proper manner. And this is from the means to truly benefit from the Quran. That one, he would learn the recitation and the mode of recitation and the rules of tajweed, and he would pronounce the words properly. And in this manner, the Quran will sink into the heart. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and a believer, he will benefit from the recitation whenever it is recited properly. After this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that we took in our previous class. And I had skipped over this narration, so we had taken this hadith in the previous class. So we continue reading the next narration, and Jabir. The author, he says, and Jabir radiallahu anhu, anna nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala li mu'adh. He says that this is a narration from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Mu'adh, فَلَوْلَا صَلَّيْتَ بِسَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى فَإِنَّهُ يُصَلِّي وَرَأَكَ الْكَبِيرُ وَالضَّعِيفُ وَذُو الْحَاجَةِ. He mentioned the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu, narrating that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Mu'adh, if you had not prayed with them, you should have recited with them, and read Sabbih isma Rabbik in Surah Al-A'la, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا in Surah Al-Shams, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَوْشَى in Surah Al-Layl. He said, فَإِنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, he is telling Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, فَإِنَّهُ يُصَلِّ وَرَاءَكَ الْكَبِيرُ, because verily praying behind you there is the elder, وَالضَّعِيفُ, and the one who is weak, وَذُو الْحَاجَةِ, and the person who has a need, the person who has needs. And so praying behind him are these types of people. So this narration here is narrated by Jabir رضي الله عنه. His name is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari al-Khazraji رضي الله عنهما. Him and his father likewise, like our previous narrator, both of them are our companions. It's mentioned about Jabir رضي الله عنه that he witnessed the pledge of Al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, the pledge of the Ansar, whenever they came amongst 70 of their tribesmen. He came with his father. Both of them, they witnessed this pledge when they pledged allegiance. We've seen likewise another companion who witnessed this pledge and in these classes. Who was that? Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu. He was also from them who witnessed this pledge. Here we have Jabir, that he witnessed this pledge also. And this is whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's still in Mecca, and he's calling the people, and he's having a very difficult time now, and the end of his life in Mecca, and the end of the, before the Hijrah, and then the Ansar, they came more than one time and pledge allegiance. This is the second time when they pledge allegiance now to defend the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or actually it will be the third time, and out of all of the times, Jabir, he witnessed this. And his father. But Jabir, he was a young man at this time. He was a young boy at this time, and he was the youngest of those who witnessed this pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's mentioned about Jabir that he witnessed that with regards to the Battle of Badr, his father made him stay behind. He wanted to attend, but his father made him stay behind to take care of his sisters. He had 9 sisters, radiallahu anhu, and his father made him stay behind and did not allow him to attend the Battle of Badr in order to take care and look after his nine sisters. And likewise, the same issue occurred again in the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud, again, his father had him stay behind, radiallahu anhuma. And in the Battle of Uhud, his father, radiallahu anhu, he was martyred. He was martyred and he died in that battle. And after that battle and the death of his father, radiallahu anhuma, he witnessed every battle after that. He witnessed every battle after that, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, and he was known for his striving and fighting alongside the Messenger. And after that, he said, غَزَوْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ تِسْعَ عَشْرَةَ غَزْوَةً. And it's a Sahih Muslim that he said, I attended alongside the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 19 battles. The only time he didn't attend Badr in Uhud, because his father prohibited him for a need. But after that, he witnessed 19 of the battles along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum and Ali, now he's facing the Khawarij, and he's facing all these different events that occurred, and also the fitna that occurred at that time. Jabir, he was from those who was with him, and he witnessed the Battle of Siffin along with Ali and those who were along with him, radiallahu anhum jami'an. In the end of the life of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he went blind. He went blind, radiallahu anhu, and he was the last of the companions to die from those who witnessed the allegiance, the pledge of allegiance, the second pledge of allegiance from the Ansar. He's the last of them to die who witnessed that pledge. And he's the last of the companions to die in Al-Madinah, radiallahu anhu. And he died in the year 78. He died in the year 78. And Aban ibn Uthman, radiallahu anhu, Aban, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, he's from the التابعين أبان بن عثمان يعني عثمان بن عفان the son of عثمان رضي الله عنه whose name is أبان he was the أمير of المدينة at this time he was the أمير of المدينة at this time and he's the one who prayed on جابر and led the صلاة الجنازة and جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما he is from المكثرين في الرواية الأثر he's from those who narrated the most narrations on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who remembers who they are Abu Huraira, Aisha radiallahu anha, Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, huh? Ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas, huh? Anas ibn Malik, one more. Jabir ibn Abdullah. Naam, As-Suyuti, he mentioned them in a lines of poetry. Al-Mukthiruna fi riwayat al-Athar, Abu Huraira yalihi ibn Umar, yalihi ibn Umar. أنس وزوجة النبي أنس والبحر كالخدري وجابر وزوجة النبي أنس والبحر كالخدري وجابر وزوجة النبي وجابر وزوجة النبي These are those narrators from the Sahaba who narrated more than 1,000 narrations. Jabir رضي الله عنه he narrated 1,540 narrations. 1,540 narrations on the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's narrating here on that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said to Mu'adh, yani each one of the companions there or the narrators that we go by, inshallah we mention something about them, except for those who have preceded. We have mentioned a number of them, alhamdulillah. But those who we have not mentioned, then we will take some benefits from their biographies and to gather between the two goods. Tasbiruna alayhi inshallah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a great companion from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Mu'adh ibn Jabal al-Ansari al-Khazraji. Al-Ansari al-Khazraji. Also, he witnessed the Aqaba al-Thaniya. He witnessed the same pledge amongst 70 from his tribesmen. And also, he witnessed the Battle of Badr. He did witness the Battle of Badr, and he was a young man, and it's mentioned he had no hair on his face. He was a young man. He witnessed the Battle of Badr, a young man, Amrad. Amrad, meaning he has no hair on his face, radiallahu anhu, but he participated in that great battle. His kunya is Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Abdurrahman, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He accepted Islam whenever he was 18 years old. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, A'lamu ummati bil halali wal haram, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. That the most knowledgeable from my ummah of the halal and the haram is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The one who knows, has the most knowledge of the ummah with regards to that which is permissible and impermissible, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Likewise, it has been narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about Mu'adh, Ni'ma al-Rajul Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Such a great man is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Yani this hadith came with the mention of a number of men. Ni'ma al-Rajul Abu Bakr. Ni'ma al-Rajul Umar ibn Khattab. Like the, and along with the, and a number of other ones also. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such a great man, Abu Bakr. Such a great man, Umar. And he mentioned a number of them. And from them, Ni'ma al-Rajul Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And such a great man is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Yani there are many virtues of this great companion. And he was very close with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it has been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking with him at one time, and he took him by his hand. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's walking with this young man, Mu'adh ibn Jabal al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, he took him by his hand. He said, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. He said, Oh Mu'adh, he's holding his hand. He said, I swear by Allah, verily I love you. Two times like this, and truly I love you. And he emphasizing this affair, grabbing him by his hand, swearing by Allah, verily indeed I love you. Verily indeed I love you. What do you say about Mu'adh? Verily indeed we love him. Verily indeed we love him. Huh? And the rest of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to love them is deen and ibadah. And deen and ibadah. We love them for the sake of Allah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved them. He said, Usika ya Mu'adh, la tada'anna دبر لا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول اللهم عني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. He said, O Mu'adh, do not leave after he mentioned this. Yani, I love you. Verily, wallahi, I love you. Verily, wallahi, I love you. Do not leave every prayer, at the end of every prayer, except that you say, oh Allah, help me to remember you and to thank you and to worship you in the best manner. And to worship you in the best manner. This narration came, this hadith came in the classes about patience. And we had mentioned that we were going to memorize it. A couple of brothers, they came, and some other brothers didn't come. If we didn't memorize it yet, if we memorize it, alhamdulillah. If we didn't memorize it yet, then you should come to me and I will help you the best I can to memorize this. To say it in every prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to him, why don't leave any prayer. And you're not obligatory or not obligatory, except you say this in the end of it. Except you say this in the end of it. And the end of the prayer, after bowing and prostrating and reciting and standing, and up and down and putting one's head on the ground, and then after all these great acts of worship, this is the good time, rather from the best time to supplicate and ask for something. And what is the best thing to ask for? What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directed Mu'adh to ask for. Oh Allah, help me to remember you and to thank you and to worship you in the best way. And to worship you in the best way. There was a benefit about this narration in those classes. What was that? And here is talking about in the end of the prayer. Al-Muraja'atu Hayatul Ilm. Mudhakara. Reviewing knowledge is the life of knowledge. Ibn Abbas, he said, Tadhakaru al-Ilm fa inna al-Mudhakarata Hayatuhu. Review the knowledge because verily reviewing is the life of knowledge. It's not the only place that one should say it. And if it only had come like this, then maybe it could be understood that this is the place for the supplication only. At the end of the prayer, meaning before the taslim. But also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَتُحِبُّونَ أَن تَجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَى. Would you like to strive hard to make supplication? And they said, of course, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he mentioned this supplication, to say this. So it's understood from this that two things, that to make this supplication is considered striving hard, making ijtihad and supplication. Just a few words. But if one understands it, and he says it with his tongue in his heart, and this is striving hard to make dua, striving hard to make supplication and call on Allah Azza wa Jal. The other benefit is that it's legislated to say it at all times. At all times. When in sujood and outside of sujood and in the salat and outside of the salat and in the preferred time, so on and so forth. That this is a great supplication of a believer. He will memorize it and he will recite it often. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised Mu'adh. And he, usika. Al-wasiyah is emphasized. Amrun mu'akkid. Something that's highly emphasized. So it's not just a command or advice, but rather it's highly emphasized. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm highly advising you this. I'm commanding this affair and putting great emphasis upon this issue. It's mentioned that the narrators of hadith who narrated this from Mu'adh, that Mu'adh, he advised them and they advised their students like this. And the chain continues. The one who narrated from Mu'adh is Sunabihi. And he advised Mu'adh advised him like this. He told him the narration, and I advise you and command you, you should make the supplication in every prayer. And Sunabihi, he told the one after him the same way like this. So this is a chain going back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of knowledge and application. Of knowledge and application. A great benefit to understand that the Salaf al-Salih, that's why they're called the pious predecessors, the righteous predecessors, because they had knowledge coupled with application. They have knowledge coupled with application. That's how a person becomes salih. That's how a person can become salih. And that's how the knowledge becomes beneficial. Because without application, the knowledge is a proof against the person and not for him. The knowledge is a proof against the person and not for him. And we seek refuge with Allah from that. We seek refuge with Allah from that. So here we have Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. About him likewise, and to clarify the issue of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he's from the first and foremost to accept Islam. He's from the very first and foremost to accept Islam. Radiallahu anhu, he said about Mu'adh, and at one time he was with his students, and he recited the verse, and he referring to the verse of Allah, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan khanitan lillah. The very Ibrahim, he was an ummah, and he was devout to Allah. But he didn't read it, Inna Ibrahim. He said, Inna Mu'adhan kana ummatan khanitan lillahi hanifa. Qanitan lillahi hanifa. And one of the narrators who narrated this event, that witness, his name is Farwa ibn Nufayl. He said, Inna Ibrahim. And then, Inna Ibrahim. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, Inna Mu'adhan. He repeated it again. And one of the wordings that's mentioned that he said, Ah, Nasiya. Nasiya Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Inna Ibrahim. He reminded him. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, Man Nasi. Who forgot? Nobody forgot. Kunna nushbihuhu bi Ibrahim. He said, we used to resemble Mu'adh to Ibrahim. I didn't forget. I know what I'm saying. Inna Mu'adhan kana ummatan. Qanitan lillahi hanifan. Verily Mu'adh, he was like Ibrahim. He said, Al-Ummah mu'allimu nas al-khayr. The Ummah, what is the Ummah? The intent here, the one who teaches the people the good. Qanit, he said, muti'an lillahi wa li rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was constantly obedient to Allah and His Messenger. And this is how Mu'adh was. This is a great tazkiyah from a great companion that they used to resemble. Meaning the companions, they used to resemble. Radiallahu anhu Mu'adh to Ibrahim in his devout worship and his obedience and the likes like this. So he's a great man. Radiallahu anhu an as-sahabati ajma'in. It's mentioned about Mu'adh ibn Jabal and radiallahu anhu that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there were three from the Muhajireen, that used to give the fatwa and speak about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal in the life of the Prophet. And likewise, there are three from the Ansar. The three from the Muhajirun, Umar and Uthman and Ali. Umar and Uthman and Ali, that they used to give the fatwa in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and give the religious verdict and speak about the deen while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive. And from the Ansar, Ubay ibn Ka'b and Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhum jami'an. He's from those who would speak about the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah and the Messenger of Allah is alive, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would allow that. Also, it's been mentioned that there are five from the Ansar. Jam'u al-Qur'an fi hayat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They memorized the whole Qur'an in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was that? Ubay ibn Ka'b, Zayd ibn Thabit, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Two more. It came before we mentioned. Who was that also? Ubadah ibn Samit. And also Abu Darda. Also, there's another companion, I forget his name now. He's one of the uncles of Anas. Also, a sixth one has been mentioned as well. A sixth one from the Ansar. They all memorized the Quran in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet, he sent him to Yemen as a messenger. He sent Mu'adh to Yemen as a messenger. Also, Mu'adh, he's riding before on the animal with a messenger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam specified him with specific knowledge about the rights of Allah. About the rights of Allah upon the slaves and the rights of the slaves upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back to Medina. And then later he was given leadership over Sham, and he went to Sham, and he was there teaching and calling the people until he died in the plague. It's called Ta'un Umwas. It was a plague that occurred at that time, and he died there. Radiallahu anhu in the 18th year. When did he accept Islam? Whenever he was 18. And what year did he die in? And the 18th year after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's born in the year 18, and he accepted Islam whenever he was 18, and he died in the year 18 after the Hijrah. Also, there's another issue to help remember this. Any of this number 18 in Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He accepted Islam when he's 18, and he died in the year 18 after the Hijrah. And also, if we look in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, the 18th hadith is the first time he mentioned the hadith in Mu'adh. The 18th hadith in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi is the hadith in Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abi Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhuma. And so this is one of the means to help memorize the knowledge and to find relationship and connections between the knowledge that one is learning and connect them and helps them to remember. So now we learn three things. from this here. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he accepted Islam whenever he was 18, and he died in the year 18. So that tells us something. How did he die? From the plague of Amwas. And that means that it was at this time also in Islamic history. At that time there was a great plague. Many people died from that. From them, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And then we learned something else about books of hadith. The 18th hadith and 40 hadith and now is the hadith of Mu'adh. What hadith is that? What hadith is that? تَقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتَ. We studied 18th hadith, huh? You studied that? Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum. So this is the narrator here. And this issue here, it has a story behind it. This narration, it has a story behind it. And that is that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, with his love for the Qur'an, he used to lead his tribe in prayer. He would go to lead his tribe in the Isha prayer. And he would recite long portions sometimes. And it's mentioned that he recited, he was leading the prayer, and there was a man who was busy with nawadih. Nawadih or sawani, they are camels that carry water, and they use it for irrigation. So this person, he is a worker, he's a farmer, and he has camels that are waiting for him that have water on them, and he has been working in the lights like this. So he comes in with his animals and sets them on the side. He joins the Isha prayer with Mu'adh. And he said, Mu'adh, he opened up Baqarah. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he opened up Surah Al-Baqarah. And he continued to read and to read and to read, meaning he's going to complete the whole chapter in Salat al-Isha. So at this time, the man, he has his needs. He has his animals and he has other things, and plus he's been gone all day, so he backed away from the prayer and finished by himself. And he cut away from the jama'ah and he finished the prayer by himself. Whenever this information here of this man leaving the jama'ah and finishing the prayer by himself and taking his animals and leaving about his business reached Mu'adh, he said, إِنَّهُ مُنَافِقٌ. Oh, he's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. Now this information reached Mu'adh. The man Mu'adh called him a hypocrite because of this action. So Mu'adh, he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he explained his situation, and now we have this narration. But whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard this from this man, the man complaining about the situation and what happened with Mu'adh while he's leading the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called for Mu'adh. He said, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَادْ. A fitan, are you a fitan is somebody who makes lots of fitna, somebody who caused lots of trouble. It's called a fitan, not a fatin. Some there a fatinun anta, but also a fitanun anta. Like this, mentioning this name like this, are you a major troublemaker causing a problem like this? And we've seen what is the relationship between Mu'adh and between the Prophet and Mu'adh? He loves him, but at this time, because of the situation, he reprimanded him. So this reprimand likewise is a reprimand of love and honor and respect. But the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla comes first. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla comes first. And nothing comes between that. No friendship. This is not personal. Fitanun anta. Like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this name. Falawla salaita. If you had not prayed with them with Surah Al-Ada and Surah Al-Shams or the likes of Surah Al-Layl, he said, because or the other than this, any from these surahs right here, this is what one should recite from in Al-Isha. That's the benefit we get from that. He said, because then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the reason, فَإِنَّهُ يُصَلِّي وَرَاءَكَ الْكَبِيرُ وَالضَّعِيفُ وَذُو الْحَاجِ. Because the ones praying behind you, you have the one who's an old person, he's an elder. It's hard for him to stand for a long time like that. And likewise, somebody who's weak, and others who have needs. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he reprimanded him. And he clarified the issue for him and directed him to that which is correct. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people of knowledge have derived from here that from the Isha prayer is that one will recite from the awsat of al-mufassal, because he said to recite Surah Al-Ala or Surah Al-Shams or Surah Al-Layl and the likes like this, and this is from the awsat of al-mufassal. So this is the evidence for that. So this is from the benefits of this narration that one will recite from here normally. This is the normal amount to recite in the Isha prayer. And also we see that to lighten the prayer, to not make it heavy, this is what is legislated, and this is the sunnah. And to recite from this portion of the prayer and this particular prayer, this is considered light. This is considered light. So some people, they would think if he didn't recite, for example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ or some other short surah, then it's considered long. No, what is considered light is what the Prophet ﷺ has clarified as light. So this is light. Recite from these chapters because you have behind you those who are old, because you have behind you those who are weak, because you have behind you those who are who have needs to take care of. So therefore, this is considered light. And also, this is an evidence that, again, that the Sharia and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla is mercy. And it observes the situation of the people and the condition of the people. And it's easy. And it's easy for those who submit. And it's easy for those who submit. So the one who is recommended, or the one who is observed, any of the situation of the people that would be observed in the situation like this, is the one who's the weakest. So you wouldn't look at, oh, they're all strong. But if there's one who's weak, that's the one that is considered. The weakest one is considered. And with regards to the jama'ah, the weakest one is, so the leader, he will take this into account. And he will look at the weakest, and then he will judge according to the one who is weakest and the one who is in most need. Not the ones who are strongest, where the majority are strong, but rather the one who is weak. And it's been narrated from the hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, أنت إمامهم واقتدي بأضعفهم واقتدي بأضعفهم, that you are the imam, you are their imam, you will be the imam of your people, and that you should lead the prayer according, and lead or have your leadership according to the weakest amongst you. According to the weakest amongst you. So one wouldn't look and be like, oh, everybody's good, everybody's strong, but there's one person who's a little bit weak, or one person who has needs, then what is considered is that individual there. Is that individual there. And also it's known that even maybe some people are healthy, and maybe some people are strong, but like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, others they have needs. Others they have responsibilities. So in that person, likewise, his situation is considered. Maybe he's healthy, maybe he's strong, maybe he could stand for a long time, maybe he has the desire to, but he has obligations. He has other responsibilities that he has to take care of. So because of this, the obligatory prayer will be observed in this manner. The obligatory prayer will be observed in this manner. And this is from the beautiful legislation of Al-Islam, from the beautiful legislation of Al-Islam, and from the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also we see the benefits from this is that sometimes the leader or the teacher, he will reprimand the student, not because of rudeness or harshness or dislike for that, but because sometimes it requires the situation like this. So if somebody is reprimanded, then he shouldn't take it personal. Or if somebody is advised, or if somebody does something wrong and they're checked about that, and the person advising them or clarifying for them or reprimanding them, he's doing it with evidence and proof, then they should accept that. And they shouldn't take it personal, and this is because he doesn't like me, or so on and so forth. But rather the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved him, and he told him he loved him, and he specified him for many affairs, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then whenever this occurred like this, to reprimand him so that he can know the gravity of this affair. أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ, are you a major troublemaker, O Mu'adh? Like this, of course he's not a major troublemaker. And he only wanted something but good. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded him and then directed him to that which is proper and that which is correct. After this, the author, he mentioned another chapter. And he's specifying a specific chapter. He says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, Babu Tarki al-Jahri, bi bismillahi rahman ar-Rahim. The chapter with regards to leaving the pronunciation audibly of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, in our class to come, we will take this this narration. If anybody has any questions or comments or corrections, now.
So in the hadith, Jabir, he's narrating that the Prophet said this to
Mu'adh. Say, Jabir, he's narrating that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to Mu'adh. Naam, Ahsant. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.